Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. My next guest is an internationally recognized authority on women's hormonal health. She is the founder of DeRosa Medical, with offices throughout Arizona, but patients come to see her from as far away as Germany, Peru, and all over the United States. She is the author of the book, How Your Doctor is Slowly Killing You, A Woman's Health Survival Guide. It is a pleasure to say hello to Dr. Angela DeRosa. Dr. DeRosa, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
Thank you. I really appreciate the time today. Now, the title of the book in and of itself is quite an eye-catcher to begin with. Tell us a little about the concept behind your book.
Well, certainly the title is meant to be provocative. In no way or shape or form am I suggesting that doctors are maliciously trying to kill their patients. However, I wanted to obviously grab some attention and also get a point across that when looking at my own journey through my menopause that occurred quite early at the age of 35, as well as the significant timing of that as I was moving through my medical school and residency training, it was kind of that perfect storm, and it also became highly prevalent in my understanding that women in particular, and in particular related to their hormones, were being very poorly cared for, and a lot of doctors were either dabbling in it or not even addressing hormonal health. And over time, that is destroying our health. And in some cases, if hormones are prescribed poorly or in a misguided direction, can literally set you up for cardiovascular risk, metabolic syndrome, diabetes, weight gain, and all the things that we certainly don't want to have happen to our patients. So this has been a personal journey for me, but also one that the message needs to get out there, because unfortunately doctors are misinformed, and again, it's not from ill intention, but through some lack of information and education, they may not be doing best by their female patients.
And why do you think that mindset exists? I mean, for all of these years to have hormone deficiencies go untreated, undiagnosed, why has that become so prevalent, and why hasn't it really become more of an issue before now?
Well, certainly medicine is kind of an interesting animal. You see changes of tide all the time. The rest of the world is about 80 years ahead of the United States in hormonal health. Unfortunately, there's a huge amount of dollars and investment in not in politics, big pharma, lack of medical education, gender bias in research, that all leads to a lot of misinformation for women, but also of fear surrounding hormones and what to do with hormonal health. I know when I personally went to medical school, I got zero training in hormones. Even residency programs, internal medicine, primary care, family practice, gynecology, there's very little attention paid to how hormones can truly interact in the body and cause significant harm when those hormones are out of balance. The only chance we possibly get is through an endocrine rotation, but unfortunately that only focuses on the big things, but not how they interplay throughout the rest of the body systems. So it's really a lack of understanding, but then you also have a lot of pharmaceutical companies that are making very big dollars off of women being on sleep medications, mm-hmm. being on antidepressants, being on statins for cholesterol. I mean, you name it, there's a $1 billion industry making money on the backs of women, when if you just replaced and balanced their hormones, they would be fine and they wouldn't require them. So there's kind of a conflict of interest in this area.
You know, it's very interesting you say that, because as I was going through the information and preparing for this, I thought of women in my life who have gone mm-hmm. to the doctor because they were not feeling well, and they explained precise symptoms, and the doctor responded with, well, are you blue? Are you stressed out? Are you dealing with a lot going? Is everything okay at home? And the first response is, okay, let's put you on an antidepressant, when in fact there was a hormonal issue in one case that led to thyroid issues. So as you mentioned, it's so easy just to write a prescription rather than try to get to the root cause of what's really going on.
And that's what's so infuriating. A man could walk in with those same exact symptoms and they would get a $1 million workup to try to figure it out. But women tend to get that pat on the head and that they're there, sweetheart, you know, well, it's got to be all in your head. But when you look at the average woman and their hormonal decline, usually in the late 30s, early 40s, women start to lose their testosterone, which for a lot of people is surprising that women make a lot of testosterone. But that initially presents as fatigue, weight gain, irritability, mood disorders, and fatigue. So instead of kind of looking at the root cause and trying to address that or understanding that it may be testosterone in women that is declining, they get pat on the head and, as you said, get put on an antidepressant, which then further exacerbates the problem.
And it creates other issues as well. Now, I was looking at your website last night. It's a terrific website. It's Dr. Angela DeRosa, drangeladerosa.com. I saw something that shocked me, and I never would have realized this. American women can expect to live one-third of their lives in menopause. That simply amazed me. Is that commonly known? And if not, why not?
Well, it comes back to the question that I get all the time in my practice. Well, isn't menopause a natural state of aging, and shouldn't we allow that to occur? Well, if you think about it, back in medieval times, women were lucky to survive childbearing. And if we did, they burned us at the stake because they thought we were witches. But I always say karmic retribution comes around, and now women are living longer than men. But when you look at the average lifespan of the ovary, most women is going to be around 51, 52. I'm seeing trends now in the last decade where I think that's coming a little earlier. But if you think about the average age of death for women, it's around 74, 80 years old. So you're talking close to a third of your lifetime in a hormonally deficient state, which certainly when those hormones drop and they decline rapidly or they're deficient completely, your body undergoes a very rapid aging where the arteries start to harden, you don't process sugar as well, you start to lose proper synapses in the brain, your skin loses its elasticity, so it leads to all those memory issues, the high blood pressure, the prediabetes, the vaginal dryness, your skin looking terrible, your hair brittle and falling out. So it's a rapid shift that occurs when the hormones become deficient. I mean, it's interesting. I can walk in a room at any given time and tell you which women are on hormone replacement and which are not just by looking at their hair and skin.
Really?
And that's what's happening on the insides of our bodies, too. So the philosophy is, why would you want to let your body do a slow, steady drop until death versus living that at a normal physiology for the next third of your life in a healthy way until something, unfortunately, maybe a heart attack or something happens down the road that would kill you maybe at 80 versus just you living in a chronic state of illness for 30, 40 years.
Now, I see on your website as well, there is something called bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. What is that?
Well, and this is one of the highest touted words, and I often think people don't really understand what that means, but bioidentical really should be called biomimetic. In other words, it mimics the exact molecule that your ovaries made at one point, or in the case of men, their testes, the testosterone that they made. So women's ovaries make testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. So when we're replacing those hormones, we want to make sure that that chemical structure looks exactly like the chemical structure that came out of your ovary. Because if you introduce something into the body that doesn't look exactly the same, there's the potential for more side effects, but also it's not going to be as effective, and you may potentially put something in the body that may be toxic for it.
Okay.
So when we're replacing hormones, I want to make sure that they're 100% bioidentical, mimicking the ovary.
We'll take a look at the other side of the aisle in terms of men. Can men have hormone deficiencies, and how common is that?
Oh, yes, they can. We call it either menopause or andropause. And what's interesting is I see women most on the averages go through hormonal decline starting in their late 30s, early 40s, with the average death of the ovary around 51, 52, where men on average usually in their 50s start to exhibit symptoms, and usually they see their severe testosterone deficiencies in their 60s. Now, again, I'm seeing shifts in that based on genetics, based on environmental exposures, but also there's a lot of things that doctors do to people unknowingly, medications like antidepressants, the other pain medications, birth control pills in women, for instance, those can also bind up free hormones, which can cause decline. So you may even have a 30, 40-year-old male walking in because he was on pain medication or an antidepressant with severe testosterone deficiency. But based on natural aging, most guys are going to show a decline in their 50s, and they're going to exhibit similar symptoms as women did. They're going to be irritable. They're going to be tired. They're going to be gaining that midsection weight gain that they can't get rid of. In some cases, they may develop the man boobs, and they get weepy, and some guys even get hot flashes. So it's interesting to watch.
My wife would love that if I came home with hot flashes. Oh, my.
Talk about being able to finally relate. And actually, interestingly, some guys actually make too much estrogen genetically. And when the balance of testosterone to estrogen shifts, where they have more estrogen relative to their testosterone, they get very PMS-y.
Really?
And it's really interesting. So I think in those guys, I think there was some karma coming around somewhere.
See, so the next time I go home and my wife sees that I'm a bit irritable, I now have an excuse as well. I like that.
Now, well, I don't. Let's not get crazy. But
I'll save it for just one time when I really need to use it, and then you know, voila, there it is. Well,
yeah, I say hormonal imbalance, and every woman will relate to you.
Yes, exactly. So, again, Dr. DeRosa, what is your website if people would like to learn more about what it is you do?
Well, there's a couple of websites they can go to. DeRosa Medical, DeRosa Medical.com. That's about my clinic, per se, but if you want to look more about the book that I've written, you can go to DrAngelaDeRosa.com, which kind of talks more about my other media sides of what I do.
Well, the book, again, is How Your Doctor is Slowly Killing You, A Woman's Health Survival Guide. It's available on Amazon. It is an extremely important read. Dr. Angela DeRosa, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you. It's been a privilege.
I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. 8 years ago, a truck crossed over the center line and crashed into Debbie's car as she was leaving work as a Walmart employee. Badly injured and in a wheelchair for life, Walmart's health plan dispersed $500,000 in medical expenses for Debbie. But recently, when Debbie won a $1 million settlement from the trucking company involved in the accident, Walmart wanted their $500,000 back. There is a very common clause in most employer health plans that allows a company to recover their money out of the settlements won by employee lawsuits. So, how do you think this real-life case was resolved? Stay tuned for the final verdict. After a lot of negative press in the court of public opinion, Walmart decided not to continue their efforts to recover the money they provided for Debbie's extended health care. And that's the final verdict.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This bruising forward is the only player in NHL history with more than 600 goals and 2,000 penalty minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what a rocket.
He's also the modern leader in Gordie Howe hat tricks, an unofficial stat for having a fight, an assist, and a goal in one game. So where is Brendan Shanahan now? Brendan is retired to the NHL's front office, where he's the league top enforcement official. He's responsible for doling out suspensions and fines for any sort of serious rough stuff. And he knows all about that.
And now Shanahan, fresh air, on the center of the garden.
Remember, Brendan, half the game is mental. The other half is being mental. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Call 888-759-MYTV. Get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. With packages as low as $19.99 for 4 rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.